Psalm 82, a psalm of Asaph.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Well, good evening, everyone in Messianic Lamb Radio world or land. My name is Kennard Levy Brown. I'm your host for the Merciful Servants of God Biblical Instructional Program. Today is May 26, 2015. I'm going to speak about an interesting topic. Well, I hope all the topics that I talk about are interesting. This in particular, how to use the Ruach HaKodesh or the Holy Spirit. So the title of this program is How to Use the Holy Spirit, or in Hebrew, How to Use the Ruach HaKodesh. I think this is a very important program because we all need to know or be reminded how to use the Holy Spirit. It's not enough just to receive it, to repent, become immersed and receive it, but how do we use it and how do we maintain the great power of God so that we can obey Him and keep His commandments? So that will be the whole focus of this program today. But what I'm going to do first is check world events here to see if there's anything significant that has occurred in the world that we need to take note of. I'm going to watch.org, Koenig's World Watch Daily, and you can go with me if you want. His URL is watch.org. The top news: after 4 weeks of silence, Gaza rocket explodes in the south. If you look at the prophetic books, Zephaniah, it talks about Gaza. Gaza certainly is going to play a role in the end time. That's another way that we can tell that we are in the end times. Netanyahu said open to drawing up boundaries for settlement blocks. Iran's mixed messages. Rouhani talks peace while military flexes muscles. So, you know, we still have the same old shenanigans and monkey business going on in the Middle East, so we need to continue to pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the Jewish people. They are our brothers, and God loves them dearly. And so we should always pray for them and for the leadership there, that they would come to their senses and start to fulfill biblical prophecy and start to build that temple and get going, get things going here so the Messiah can come back and rule this world and universe and bring peace, ultimate peace, to the universe and to the planet Earth. Another headline, May 25, 2015, amid Russia tensions, 100 U.S. European jets hold drills in Arctic. And so we need to take a look at that. And then another headline, American destroyer joins large-scale military exercise in the Black Sea this week. Let me read this one. It says a total of Romanian military ships, an American destroyer, sea dredger from Bulgaria, and some 1,500 troops conduct this week specific battle actions for the defense of sea communications. American destroyer USS Ross came to Constantina Harbor last weekend, its second visit in the past 12 months, after a previous one in September 2014. The American ship is the star of this week's exercise in the Black Sea. The military drill is part of the Trident Poseidon 2015 exercise, carried out in Romania's territorial waters and international waters of the Black Sea between May 25th and May 28th. So, again, we're having some things being stirred up in the Middle East, and we need to continue to look and watch and pray, as he states in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Let's go to the Economic Collapse blog. You can follow with me if you're by your PC, the TheEconomicCollapseBlog.com. Again, TheEconomicCollapseBlog.com. He states here, are you prepared for the coming economic collapse and the next Great Depression? One headline he has on the blog here. And this website is designed by or created by Michael Snyder. It says here, stocks began falling right at this time of the year, just prior to the last financial crisis. He states this, have you heard of the saying, sell in May and go away? Traditionally, the period from May through October has been a time of weakness for stocks. In fact, on average, stocks hit their lowest point of the year on October 27th. And most people don't remember this, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average actually began plunging right at this time of the year, just prior to the financial crisis of 2008. Most people do remember the huge stock crash that happened in the fall of that year, but the market actually started to slide in May. Throughout the first 4.5 months of 2008, stocks moved up and down in a fairly narrow range, and the Dow closed at a short-term peak of 13,028.16 on May 19th. From there, it was a downhill for the rest of the year. So will a similar thing happen in 2015 as we approach the next great financial crisis? So he asked a question. He says, so will a similar thing happen in 2015 as we approach the next great financial crisis? Since March 20th, the Dow Jones Transportation Average has already fallen by almost 800 points. So will the Dow Jones Industrial Average soon follow? Well, only time will tell, but the Dow was down 190 points. On Tuesday, 190 points on Tuesday, signs of trouble are popping all over the place, and the smart money is getting out while the getting is good. Another headline here, is the $505 trillion interest rate derivatives bubble in imminent jeopardy? And he states here, it is mathematically impossible to pay off all of our debt. Did you know that if you took every single penny away from everyone in the United States, that it still would not be enough to pay off the national debt. Today, the debt of the federal government exceeds $140,000 per household. Again, $145,000 per household. That is the debt that every American shares. And it is getting worse with each passing year. Many believe that if we paid it off a little bit at a time, that we could eventually pay it off. But as you will see below, and the only way you can see below is clicking the hyperlink on this page. So he says, if you see below, that isn't going to work either. It has been projected that mandatory federal spending on programs such as Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare, plus interest on the national debt, will exceed total federal revenue by the year 2025. That is before a single dollar is spent on the U.S. military, Homeland Security, paying federal workers, or building any roads and bridges. So, no. We aren't going to be paying down our debt anytime in the foreseeable future. And of course, it isn't just our $18 trillion national debt that we need to be concerned about. Overall, Americans are a total of $58 trillion in debt. $58 trillion in debt. Again, let me underscore that. $58 trillion in debt. 35 years ago, that number was sitting at just $4.3 trillion. There is no way in the world that all of that debt can be ever repaid. The only thing that we can hope for now is for a debt bubble to last for as long as possible before it finally explodes. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in some bad shape, and we need to realize that, and we need to continue to study the Bible and prepare ourselves, just like Noah prepared his family. And Hebrews chapter 11, scripture just popped in my mind here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it states, by faith, Noah, being warned of Yah, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So we can't be stupid, ladies and gentlemen. We have to take a look at what's going on, and we have to adjust our plans accordingly. Because Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So there's nothing wrong with preparing. Noah did. We should do. We should too. Yeshua stated plainly in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 26, that these days are similar to the days of Noah and Lot. And so if that's the case, then we need to start preparing. We need to start preparing for the worst, ladies and gentlemen. First, spiritually. Second, secondarily, physically. All right, let's get to the focus of this Bible study, how to use the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh. But first of all, let's understand what it is. The Ruach HaKodesh is the Spirit of Yah and His power. This is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. If any of you are listening to me for the first time, all I do is quote scriptures. I quote one scripture after the next. The scripture may be in one other book in the Bible, the other. The reason why I do that, because God says as to how you're going to understand His word. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10, He plainly states the following. He says, "For precept must be upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." All right, so based on this particular topic, and this topic, of course, is about how to use the Holy Spirit, there's certain scriptures, key scriptures, throughout the Bible, all over the place, that when you put them together, will clarify how, biblically anyway, how to use the Holy Spirit. All right, so I just want to explain to you my method of teaching. And it's a method of teaching that really everyone should do, because you're not going to find all the answers to any biblical question in a lot of cases just in one scripture or one chapter. All right, there's some rare scriptures that are very, very emphatic and to the point. But in most cases, you have to gather all the scriptures under one topic to understand that particular doctrine, a topic, or lesson, or instruction in the Bible. Okay, so let me go back to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 35. States the following, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost," in the King James Version it says that, "shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So the Holy Spirit here is being linked with the power of the highest. So let's continue on and figure out this puzzle of what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit comes from the Father. Let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. It says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father." So the Comforter or the Helper comes from the Father. That's why the Holy Spirit is God too, because it's a part of God. It comes from the Father. And after all, the Father is a spirit. All right, so "but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father." Again, that's second confirmation that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, proceeds or comes from the Father. All right, so that's an important thing to understand about the source of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 17 to 18. It states, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So this scripture confirms that the Holy Spirit is also God or the Lord. Because, of course, it comes from Him. Verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." All right, let's continue on, figuring out the puzzle. The Father gives the Ruach HaKodesh to Yeshua to give to His believers. Let's turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, if it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." And remember, the Comforter comes from the Father, proceeds from the Father. "But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." So what happens? The Holy Spirit comes from the Father, and then He gives Yeshua the authority to send the Holy Spirit to those who He is calling. All right? All right. Let's continue on here. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 to 33. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 to 33. "This Yeshua has God raised up, where we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit." So Yeshua receives His Father's Spirit. His Father's Spirit is in Him. He said that on the earth. "The Father's in me and I'm in the Father." So Yeshua receives the Spirit from God the Father. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you see and hear. All right. So I'm trying to clarify this. The Ruach HaKodesh is also called the Spirit of Messiah. Yes. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verses 9 to 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Yah dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Messiah, he is none of his. So, in this one verse, it's stating that the Spirit of Yah is also the Spirit of Messiah. And that's the case because the Father, the Spirit comes from the Father, and then Yeshua has that Spirit in him. And since Yeshua is the ultimate image of Yah, and he is also called God, the Spirit also can be called the Spirit of Messiah. Verse 10, and if Messiah be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Messiah from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. All right. Should be getting a clear picture here of what this is, of what the Holy Spirit is. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Plainly states, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. There we go. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so, again, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. The Son receives the Spirit, and then he calls it the Spirit of his Son, and the Spirit sends it to us. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. All right. Philippians 1, verse 19. Philippians 1, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Messiah, of Jesus Christ. So again, it's telling you that the Holy Spirit can also be called the Spirit of Messiah. And this scripture certainly proves that. For I know that this shall turn my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Yeshua Messiah. 1 Peter 1, verse 11. 1 Peter 1, verse 11. Searching what? Or what manner of time? The Spirit of Messiah. Here we go again. Another scripture that proves that the Spirit of Yah is also called the Spirit of Messiah. Because after all, the Father and the Son are one in unity, right? Searching what? Or what manner of the time the Spirit of Messiah, which was in them, did signify when it was testified beforehand the sufferings of Messiah and the glory that shall follow. Remember, this guy was trying to debate with me. He said that the Spirit was just on the prophets, it was not in them. Well, if you read the scriptures saying that the Spirit of Messiah was in them, the prophets, all right, so are we going to believe the Bible, or are we going to believe what we want to believe? See, so that's the thing, and we have to understand. In verse 10 states the following, 1 Peter chapter 1, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and search diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Messiah, which was in them. And so the Spirit of Messiah was in the prophets, according to the scriptures. All right. John chapter 14, verse 26 to 27. John 14, verse 26 to 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, does it say some things? All things. I hear people, we have to wait for Messiah to come back. We have to make the Messiah. No, we do not have to wait for Messiah to come back. Not according to the words here. It says, but the Comforter, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Do you believe that scripture? I believe it. I believe the scripture. And in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. What's the Bible definition of how you have peace? Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they who love thy Torah. and nothing shall cause them to stumble or be offended. That's in Psalm 119, verse 165. Peace. So how are you going to have inner peace? And how eventually will we have universal peace when everybody's keeping the Torah? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, let's repeat this. This is an important scripture. Peace I leave you. So we should have his peace through the Holy Spirit. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He doesn't give us the peace of the world. He gives us the peace that has something to do with keeping Torah. That's what we need to understand. Now, I hope I've simplified this, but to simplify this, the Ruach HaKodesh of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Son. Now, Yeshua has the Spirit of the Father, as I said, and if we have the Ruach HaKodesh dwelling in us, then we have the Spirit of the Father and the Son in us. Let's go over that. So that's very important to understand. And, you know, this will be a part two if it needs to be. Okay, this is a very important Bible study. I'm not going to rush this Bible study. I'm going to quote all the scriptures that I need to help you understand. So if I need to do a part two with this, so be it. John chapter 14, verse 20 to 23. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. So that's the goal, ladies and gentlemen. Again, John 14, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He that has my commandments and keep them, he is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. And so that's very important to understand there. Verse 22 of John chapter 14, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou would manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? In verse 23, Yeshua answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Very simple. If we actually love God, we would obey him, right? Not doubt his words, right? If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he's talking about spiritually, and eventually it will happen literally when the Father and the Son will dwell with us. Okay, but right now they're dwelling with us spiritually. John 17, verse 21 states the following, that they all may be one, ehad. This Hebrew word that quite a few people are confused about. You know, is it a compound unity or whatever? Well, John chapter 17 explains ehad, that it means simply that the Father and the Son are one in unity. They're not one being. In verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. So this is the Bible definition of what it means to be ehad. Okay? One. Ehad. One. As the Father in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So just like he wants everyone in the assembly to be one, his Father, him and his Father are one. So that's the Bible definition of ehad, or hehad, or ehad. All right, anyway. All right, where did I leave off at? 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with who? With the Father and with the Son, Yeshua Messiah. Let me read the rest of this because this is important. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So our joy is full when we know that we're fellowshipping with the Father and Yeshua spiritually. Verse 5. Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that Yah is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And verse 6 of John chapter 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. What is truth? Psalm 119:142 is all the instructions and doctrines and laws and commandments of God. Psalm 119:151 verse 7. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Messiah, Yeshua, or Yeshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us all from sin. So right, this is the reason why it's important to fellowship. Because when we fellowship, then the Father and Son is dwelling spiritually with us. And because of that, it states the following. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua Messiah cleanses us from all sin when we fellowship. Because we all learn and grow from one another and help improve one another in how we act. You can't really make it in Yah's kingdom, in most cases, unless you do fellowship with like-minded believers. It's very important. All right. The Ruach HaKodesh, again, as I stated, is a part of the Father and the Son. The Spirit of Yah also, amazingly, consists of seven spirits. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. It says, Yochanan, or John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So there are seven spirits before his throne, according to the Holy Scriptures. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a shofar, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee these things which must be hereafter. In verse 2, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. This is the Father, ladies and gentlemen. For people to tell me that no one has even gotten a glimpse of him, they don't know what they're talking about. Verse 3, it says that Yochanan did. He didn't see him clearly, but he did get a glimpse of him. Verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Verse 4, and around about the throne was 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And verse 5 is the key scripture in the context of this Bible study. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So there's around his throne seven spirits. Seven spirits. Seven spirits. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the middle of the throne and of the four beasts in the middle of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. What did that scripture that I quoted to you earlier say? It said that Yeshua receives the Spirit from the Father and he sends it. And this is how he sends it, ladies and gentlemen. Revelation 5 verse 6 tells you that he sends it, and it's composed of seven spirits into all the earth. Verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. This scripture proves emphatically that the Father and the Son are two separate beings. Revelation 5 verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The Lamb did that. He took out of that right hand, which proves that the Father has a hand, he took the book out of his hand. All right. So let's continue on here. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch. It's talking about the Messiah. Yeshua Messiah shall grow out of his roots. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Is to hate evil. Proverbs 8 verse 13. And so the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might. When you have the Spirit, those are the things that it consists of, ladies and gentlemen, of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel and might and knowledge and fear. And fear. The right type of fear. The Holy Spirit helps a human to understand the Bible and to obey Yah's commandments. Let's understand this. Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. actually, Proverbs 1, verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? God calls us all fools if we hate knowledge. Verse 23, turn you at my correction or reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit into you. I'm going to repeat this two more times so you understand. It says, turn, or do teshuvah, at my reproof or correction. Behold, I will pour out my spirit into you. Do you realize the significance of the scripture? If we're not willing to be corrected by the scriptures, he will not pour out his spirit unto you, and he will not make his words known unto you. And so our behavior has a lot to do with whether or not we maintain the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. We have to be willing to be corrected. Do you realize that God calls us stupid if we don't want to be corrected? Proverbs 12 verse 1 states the following: whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he that hates reproof is brutish. Brutish in the Hebrew means stupid. Okay, so we cannot be stupid, ladies and gentlemen. And we have to take correction. If we don't take correction, we will not receive the ability to keep the commandments. Again, in verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 1, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make my words known unto you. Verse 24, because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regards, but you have set at naught all my counsel. What was one of the characteristics of the spirit? It's the spirit of counsel. It's the spirit of counsel. And you will have none of my correction. And in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. You don't want God to do that when you're having problems. You want him to intervene, right? Well, a good way to make sure that he does that is for you to accept correction. And how are you going to accept correction unless you study the Bible daily to grow, to become a better person so that you can receive the Holy Spirit and maintain it? All right, anyway. Verse 27, when your fear comes as a desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind or hurricane, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Verse 29, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, which is to hate evil. Proverbs 8, verse 13. They were none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Hold your place here and turn to Psalm 110. Or 111, rather. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. Again, Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that, what? Do his commandments. That's an essay edition by the King James translators. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And so we have a good understanding when we obey him, and we don't, when we don't know God if we don't obey him. It goes hand in hand with 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. He that says, I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay, so anybody that says they know him and they come into you with the law is nailed to the cross, they are a liar, and the truth is not in him. The truth is keeping the commandments of God, are the commandments of God and the instructions of God. Psalm 119, 142, Psalm 119, 151. Jot those scriptures down with your pencil. All right. And so we don't want to get in this situation where God does not help us. And the way we can do that is by seeking him daily, studying his words daily, stirring that spirit in you. Or if you don't have it in you yet, the spirit working with you. I'm going to explain that here later on in this Bible study. Verse 21, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, fruits, many times in the context of the Bible is talking about your behavior, and be filled with their own devices. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. All right, so it's very important to understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. Let's turn there. It says plainly in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear have heard, neither have entered into the heart of man things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed unto us by his Ruach HaKodesh, or his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things is in him. Even so, the things of Yah knows no man but the Spirit of Yah. That's the reason why it's important to have it in you. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is the spirit of the devil. It's the spirit of error. But the spirit which is of God, which is the spirit of truth, that and the spirit of grace, that we might know the things that are freely, I love that word freely, given to us of Yah. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Ruach HaKodesh teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the Spirit of God, but the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. I've had some people react just like that. You know, I'm preaching the truth, and it's foolishness to them. And it's foolishness to them. They don't understand it because they don't have the Spirit, or they're not using the Spirit. They're not growing. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judge of all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the master that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. And that is the ultimate goal, is to think like him, have his character. We receive the spirit of Messiah. That's what we should be doing. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. States the following. Seeing you have purified your souls. How do we purify our souls? In obeying the truth. That's how we purify our souls, by obeying the truth. Yeah, I'd have this essential oil on me called purification. Purify. And boy, it does purify the air and purify everything. And it's just awesome. But anyway, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. All right? So that's a very important scripture to memorize, really. And then Ezekiel 36, verse 27. Ezekiel 36, verse 27. It states the following here. It says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. What is that word cause in the Hebrew? Well, it means also. It means to do or make, to accomplish, to appoint, to bring forth, to execute. And so he's going to execute you to walk in his statutes. He's going to help you do it. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does. It helps you to obey him. Now, another key scripture here, John 14, verse 16 and 17. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Remember, the Holy Spirit that we better have is the Spirit of truth, not the spirit of error, whom the world cannot receive. And that's another Bible study, but he states plainly that the majority of people in the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth at this time. Why? Well, that's another Bible study. Because it sees him not, neither knows him. So the majority of people in the world does not see the Spirit, neither do they know him. They don't know the true Holy Spirit of God, the true Ruach HaKodesh. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And at this time, the Holy Spirit was just dwelling with them and was not in them. And so, how does someone receive the Spirit? I covered this in the Doctrine of Immersions, a Bible study that I have in the archives, but I'm going to go over this briefly. Well, you receive the Spirit by repenting, by being immersed by water and the Spirit, and obeying Yah's instructions and commandments. So let's begin in Luke chapter 3, verse 7 to 14. Luke chapter 3, verse 7 to 14. It states plainly, then said he to the multitude that came to be immersed of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits or behavior worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that God, or Yah, is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And verse 9, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. We are the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good behavior or fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He's not playing around, God. He is not playing around, folks. Verse 10, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Because they didn't want to get burned in the lake of fire, right? Or burned in the fire. Verse 11, he answered and said to them, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none, and he that has food, let him do likewise. So we need to give. That's how we show that we have a repentant attitude, by being willing to share of your possessions. Verse 12, then came also the tax collectors to be immersed, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? In verse 13, and he said unto them, exact no more than what is appointed to you. So if you're a tax collector or money collector, you shouldn't charge more than what you should receive. Verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man. That means do no unnecessary violence to no man. Neither accuse any falsely. Be content with your wages. That's something we all need to be working on, being content with our wages. Content in the Greek means to realize that your wages should be sufficient for your needs. If not, of course, you shouldn't just settle for what you have. You should improve yourself. But once we get to a point where the money that we're making is sufficient for our needs, we shouldn't be complaining. All right, so John 3, verse 5 to 8 states the following. Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's the immersion of Yohanan, and of the Spirit, which later became the immersion that Yeshua commanded us all to do as Torah teachers of our students, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this is a commandment from him. We have to be immersed in the water and also immersed of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. And Hebrews 6, verse 1 to 2 are the basic doctrines of God. I'll just read it to you. But that this is something that you must know before you're immersed in most cases. You need to have a basic understanding of these things. You need to understand what you're getting yourself into. Hebrews 6, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Messiah, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. That doesn't mean the dead works of the Torah. It means dead works not keeping the Torah. and of faith toward God, or trust toward God, that's the second doctrine. Of the doctrine of immersions, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. If you don't understand these basics, you need to go back to the drawing board and learn them. And I'm going to help you do that. Actually, I already have. I've gone over each and every one of them in the archives. And you should review them if you don't have a clue about what they are. Because in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says the following. For Hebrews 5 verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, which I just highlighted to you, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The milk is what I just described. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You have to get to a point where you know what's right and what's wrong to be able to teach people the truth. All right, and then Acts 2, verse 38 to 39. Looks like will be a part two. Acts 2, verse 38 to 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it is a gift. And verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Master our Yah shall call. So he's calling us. And what you need to understand, he doesn't call everybody. Right now, in John chapter 6, let's turn there, John chapter 6, and this is something I've been trying to explain to certain people in this movement, and they just struggle with understanding this, but John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so the Father draws someone to Messiah. Now, does he draw him to go up into heaven where Messiah is at? Of course not. So he uses one of the Messiah's proxies. Proxy means substitution, a substitute. He draws him to one of his Torah teachers. All right? And once this person is drawn to me, it's my responsibility as his shepherd to teach him or her. And I will raise him up at the last day. And in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of Yah. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father comes unto me. And see, what eternal life is, ladies and gentlemen, which most people don't seem to understand. But John 17, verse 3, saying this is life eternal. What is the summation of eternal life? That you might know, that they might know thee, the only true God. So he's talking about the Father and Yeshua Messiah, whom thou hast sent. So understanding the totality of immortality, of eternal life, immortality, is understanding who the Father is and who the Son is and what their roles are. And when Yah calls you, you start to understand that. That's when you know you're being called. John chapter 6. Well, actually, I already went there. All right. And so he's not calling everyone right now. Okay. And 1 Corinthians proves this. 1 Corinthians. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of Yah. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not Yah made foolish the wisdom of this world? All this education that we get, God calls foolishness if you don't have him in the center of it. Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of Yah, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He calls preaching foolish, and I can understand why. But anyway, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Greeks are always sending it. They're always, I want the newest thing. I want the newest understanding. And if I already understand this, I don't want to learn this anymore. That's the Greek thought. That's the Greek-Roman thought that we have to pry out of our brains. We should have a circular way of wanting to learn, repetition. Verse 23, but we preach Messiah crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, you have to be called, Jews and Greeks, Messiah, the power of God. So Christ is also called the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Messiah, and also he's the wisdom of God. So that's another name for the Messiah, the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit, and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and Yah has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yes, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Things that are, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so that's what you need to understand, that not many are called, not many mighty are called, which means they'll be called in the future. And a certain select of people are being called at this time. And the reason why, he's raising kings and priests to rule with him. He's calling his bride, as Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 states. He's calling a bride. And when you are seeking to marry a bride, you're not looking for any other. You're not looking for any type of woman. You're looking for a particular woman with a particular trait that's compatible with you. In a figurative sense, that's what the Father's doing for his Son right now. All right, so with that, I'm going to leave y'all, pick up on this next week, part two of how to use the Holy Spirit. I felt the need to go and explain to you what the Holy Spirit is first and how to receive it. And now I'm going to get into the heart of this Bible study, how to use it. So may Yah bless and keep you. And God willing, I'll be available to you next week. Shalom. Peace.
Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble.
And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.